The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. I'm here to continuing our recollections series today. We're going to talk about a very well-beloved Raven today, Kelly Gregg of the early 2000s. And it's weird to me, but Kelly Gregg is a player now that not everybody remembers anymore. And I have to kind of remind myself of that. It's been, 14 years now since he played for the Ravens. But joining me to talk about Kelly Gregg is Adam Minkowski, and Adam remembers. Adam, how you doing?
I'm good, Ken. Good talking with you again.
Great to have you on. We've had Adam on for a number of shows in the past, including a lot of these historical series when they've been on. But Adam, you picked Kelly Gregg. Why was he important to bring up?
Well, I was thinking about the guys from that 2000 to 2010 era. And honestly, I was just trying to, I remember a lot of the names and I remember this is a good player, not so good player. But I was trying to think of actual specific plays that I could remember. And Kelly was one where came to mind, where there's two specific ones that really, really came to mind. And also just being that historically underrated Ravens player who, it's a shame people forget about him because, he high level of play for many, many years for those Ravens.
That does seem to be the single word that comes out most about Kelly Gregg is underrated. It's one that is constantly said. I mean, he was almost so underrated, he was overrated, but then you look at his career and he's really the Kevin Zeitler of his time, meaning that he played a long time at a very high level and never made a Pro Bowl, which is still incredible to me that Gregg with his level play.
I just looking at it, the one stat that jumped out from the time he went, he was started full time as nose tackle in 2002 to, I guess, till the end of his Ravens days, had the most tackles for a interior defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. So
extraordinarily tackle totals for an IDL. And they don't get a lot of tackles, by the way. If you look at the 2000 Ravens, Tony Siragusa had 27 tackles. Kelly Gregg, by comparison, had 7 consecutive years of 60 plus tackles.
Wow.
So yeah. He really stood out in that regard, and he wasn't really, can't really be directly pigeonholed as a two gap player or a penetrator, but he definitely, he was a guy who Brent Urban, would talk about denying space to defenders and whatnot. And that's a big role. And Michael Pierce certainly embodies that probably to a greater degree of his, whatever penetration he gets, bifurcates the backfield and makes trouble. Kelly Gregg, he'd do some of that, and then he'd also get off his guy and make the tackle because that wrestling background that he had, which is something we always also heard about Kelly Gregg.
That always gets brought up that he was a wrestler.
Yeah. Storied in Oklahoma, by the way, 90-4 in high school as a wrestler, 3 Oklahoma titles as a heavyweight, and apparently I didn't know this, that there was a problem with this, but he excelled in both Greco-Roman and freestyle. And Gregg, I don't know if that's abnormal or not. Maybe there are lots of people who do, but Gregg was a heavyweight who dominated a division for 3 years. Now, you think about that. You typically grow into your body in high school and whatnot. Kelly Gregg already kind of taking care of seniors with no problem when he's a sophomore. Is how you think about this.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess really helped because while he may have been a heavyweight big guy in high school, when he got to the NFL, that's one of the things that always stood out to me is he was, you know, he's no longer the big guy on the football field.
Right. Always a little undersized at the NFL level, kind of a guy who had a odd body type, I don't even know how to describe it. He's almost not really an apple or a pear. It's like there's no waste at all in terms of what he had. And he's, you know, he's kind of short-legged for what he had, very short-armed as well. Unusual. There are, by the way, there's many more nose tackles who've gotten by with short arms than there are offensive linemen. So it's for whatever reason, you know, there's guys in the NFL today who have been similar, but Kelly Gregg was right in there and very physical, attack oriented in terms of what he was doing with the offensive linemen across him and able to shed them pretty effectively.
Yeah. No, it's the short legs are I think what I particularly can picture. Just a you know, 6 foot, but I guess all that height was from the waist up. That
Drafted by the Bengals in the sixth round of the 1999 draft. You want to talk about players in the division that got away. You know, there's Unitas coming to the Colts, of course, and they were in the same division, but they were obviously playing the same league, and that's one. And the Ravens have Harrison, that they let James Harrison get away to the Steelers. They caught him three separate times. But Kelly Gregg getting away from the Bengals has got to hurt. And he played that 1999 season with the Eagles. And then he didn't come to the Ravens actually until after being cut, I believe, again by the Eagles in 2000. Although I don't know actually who he started the camp with in 2000. And then he was cut on September 13th of that year, 9/13, he joined the Ravens.
Yeah. When I was preparing for this show, I was just Googling and I came across a article from 2011 by a Bengals fan, and it that they rated him number two as the second highest guy that got away.
Who is number one?
I didn't see who number one was. Okay. I didn't check it. I didn't look that far, but yeah, it was just weird to see, like, wow, that's, you know,
that's high praise.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'm surprised by that because the Bengals I would think would have lots of players on that list. But that's an interesting one. So there's some recency bias probably in what's going on here. He spent that entire season, the 2000 season, on the Ravens practice squad. And this is one of the cool things. I mean, Kelly Gregg is on the sideline. In fact, he's visible on the broadcast video on the sideline during the Super Bowl 35. So he got his ring then.
Yeah, I completely did not realize because I was a new fan at that point. And so just learning the Ravens. So I just associate Kelly Gregg with the cap purge and, you know, taking over at the nose tackle after Saragusa and Adams left. So the fact that he was there for the Super Bowl was kind of news to me.
Yeah.
But I was reading I guess it was Rex had coached him in Oklahoma. And so he was the big reason why they decided to take a chance on Kelly Gregg.
Did not know that. Did not know that. That's a big. So Rex was the defensive line coach, and he'd been at Oklahoma, probably also a defensive line coach there or something. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I read an article where it was. I think he came to the tryout and for the Ravens, and Billick went over to. Rex and said, so what is it with this guy? Is he one of your illegitimate kids that I don't know about or something like that? So
all right. So anyway, 2001, he joined the Ravens for good, but it didn't come easy. If you remember the Hard Knocks series, the Hard Knocks series featured his primary competitor, which was Wayne Missouri on the defensive line. And you guys have heard me talk about this last time, and there's been two other guys we've talked about in this series this really applied to, but that line was stacked like no other in NFL history. They brought back the big four in their 4-3, mm-hmm. McCrary and Adams and Burnett and Siragusa, and then they had a bunch of secondary guys that played 10 years in the NFL, and mm-hmm. Kelly Gregg was one of them. Yeah. And they had Marcus Douglas was in there, and now I got to bring it up here
Tony
again.
But Weaver.
Tony Weaver came the next year, but it's not him. All right, I've got to bring up my spreadsheet here. It'll take a second, but I do want to kind of go through that because the set of players that year was just extraordinary that were on the DL. I still call it the tightest ever. Larry Webster was on the team. Mm-hmm. Adelis Thomas was a sort of a defensive end at that point, and he would eventually become a guy who the Ravens could depend upon for all sorts of cover mm-hmm. at a later time. I'm still missing it here. Where's the other? There's more than that. There's at least one more name. Lionel Bolton.
Yeah, Jelly. Yeah. Was he still there at that point? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I think we've been through that whole list now. Adams, Burnett, Dalton, Douglas, Gregg, McCrary, Siragusa, Thomas, and Webster. That is an unbelievable number mm-hmm. of total NFL seasons played together on one defensive
right.
line.
And yes.
You had Peter Boulware also on that team. But here's the interesting part. Kelly Gregg made the roster as a situational pass rusher, not as a run stuffer. They didn't have room for a run stuffer because they had Siragusa and Adams. So, Kelly Gregg, you're a situational pass rusher.
Got to find room for him somewhere. I guess so. That's where you put him. But, yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit. We always like to talk about the moments for these players. I'll just save this for a little bit later. But the final moment where Kelly Gregg finally made the Ravens came in this last exhibition game of 2001 when he and Missouri played the greatest ever single position competition in Ravens history. It's two guys playing at a very high level, playing for the last spot on the roster, and they both played incredibly well. And the Ravens just had to cut one, and they ended up cutting Dwayne Missouri. Missouri mm-hmm. went on to play just two total NFL games with the Cowboys. Then he moved on to the Arena League, and he was a superstar there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think he was two-way player, offensive lineman and defensive lineman, and was one of the really stars of that league. But Kelly Gregg, if things had gone different in that game, we'll get to it a little bit later. It would have been a very different Ravens history for that first decade of the 21st century.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Just a big difference there in the total NFL games.
Yeah. Yeah. If he played just eight games as a rookie, the next nine years, he only missed two games. That's through 2010. So from 2002 to 10, remarkable durability.
Absolutely. No, it was the other surprising thing looking there. And I remember him always being there and just being tenacious. But yeah, only missed two games.
Now, I've often pointed out that the Ravens have been a rotational team pretty much for their entire history, that they've not liked having linemen on the field for a lot of snaps. And very rarely have they ever used a player like other teams used a player. And in recent history, the guy to think about in terms of that is Calais Campbell, who came to the Ravens having played four straight years, every year between 77 and 80% of snaps. Well, Kelly Gregg played all those consecutive years, and he always played a high percentage of snaps. And when I say that, he had a lot of years over 60%, and he had a couple of years over 70%. Nada also had 4 years, I believe, over 70% mm-hmm. in his career. But the amount they leaned on those two guys was the most really they've leaned on a pair at any time during Ravens history.
Okay. Yeah, I keep wondering about that. One of the things I wanted to ask you was there's that story of Ray Lewis being mic'd, and this is before they drafted Nada, where mm-hmm. they're having a down year, and they got Ray Lewis saying, keep him off me, keep him off me. And they took that because the defensive line in front of them was so small or ineffective. And I always wondered if that was a shot at Kelly Gregg being so small, because that's not what I heard, that he was always, you know, a good player up front, and, you know, and always, you know, used the wrestling and his small stature to get up under the offensive linemen.
He was a fine player, but Lewis really didn't want to go from the 4-3 to the 3-4. So the 4-3 with the two enormous defensive tackles that it featured in Siragusa and Adams was perfect for Lewis. He had a lot of room to roam, but when it came later, there's been other teams that have made that change as well from 4-3 to 3-4. The Bears famously, and Urlacher had similar disdain for the move. He really thought it was minimizing him. And mm-hmm. Lewis got over it eventually, because as quickly as 2003, he won Defensive Player of the Year again. But right. it was a little bit of a struggle for him to adapt initially.
Got it.
Let's see. What else we have to talk about here? Talked about the productive tackling a little bit. Mm-hmm.
That whole Buddy Lee persona that... That I think I read that Siragusa gave him the nickname, but it was like once you had that nickname, it's like absolutely that's who he is. Just lunch pail guy coming to work every day, you know, just being a tenacious, you know, always fighting, as you said, like, you know, gets blocks the offensive lineman and still gets up and makes it through to try and get a sack and hit the runner.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a very, very violent player in terms of being able to fight inside, kind of the Joe Frazier of his time. Mm-hmm. If anybody remembers, and it's been a long time. I realize how old I am when I'm saying this, but you could have seen the fight at some point along the time. But when Frazier fought Ali, enormous reach advantage, and Frazier, no fear of going inside and mixing it up in there. And Kelly Gregg kind of had to do that his whole career and was very good at it as well. I think one of the things that I will always remember Gregg for is the fact that the Ravens, you know, went 20 consecutive seasons without allowing 4 yards per carry to opposing runners for the season. And just an incredible start. But it was all predicated on, you know, building really from front to back in that era rather than back to front. I'm not saying they didn't have great players on the back end. They did too at times, but they definitely had, you know, a great line and great linebackers. And in particular, the 6 guys who make up the players up front in a nickel are exceptionally good to keep that stat going, because you have to do a lot of your run defense playing nickel in the NFL at any point during this streak. And the Ravens managed to always have 2 great inside linebackers, 2 great down linemen, and 2 great edge players. And they had it. It was really those 6 guys that allowed them to stop the run in what are now situations where I think NFL offensive coordinators like to run the ball against the opponent. They like to run out of 11 because I think they it's easier to work against 6 bodies.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's a great streak, and it's definitely been a big part of that that whole period.
You know, now we get to, you know, obviously the Pro Bowl's never making one. Unfortunately, he never made a Super Bowl as a player. You know, he just kind of missed both the 2000 and the 2012 games by he finished up his career in 2011 actually with Kansas City. Where he played for 1 year. And then, of course, he was on the practice squad in 2000. But to me, he's a player who's right on the doorstep of the Ravens Ring of Honor. And it wouldn't surprise me if he makes it at some point. Mm-hmm. To me, he's probably...
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Probably the single closest player without getting in that the Ravens have.
Okay. Yeah. I have a hard time thinking about another one because, just the length of his time, like, you know, someone like Adalis Thomas, you know, had the stats and had a couple of great seasons. But, it was like a consistent domination for a lot of years.
And I mean, if you start by looking with players who played, say, 100 games for the Ravens, you pare down that list very quickly. And I mean, I think Kelly Gregg really stands out. Now, if you want peak value players, there's some other players, you know, Anquan Boldin and Matt Burke might be guys that they would induct at some point. Free agency has come early. One of the interesting things about Matt Abike that this contract means is that there's a pretty damn good chance he makes the Ravens Ring of Honor, because any big second contract where the player plays it out is a pretty good chance. And of course, I don't want to jinx it because, Ronnie Stanley got a second big contract. He might not make it. So that's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I know there's always standout plays, and we usually save that for last on the show. So let's go into it in terms of what were the big plays in Kelly's career that you remember?
Honestly, the one where he didn't even he wasn't the main guy in the play, but he had a fumble return in 2006. I got to ask you this. It was consecutive with the game that you're always talking about where Haloti Ngata had the fumble return and stepped out of bounds. And I can never remember which game was that. Do you remember the
second game of the year against Oakland that they won 28-6, I think.
That's the one where Kelly Gregg had the fumble.
I'm pretty sure. I think he had a 59 or 60 yard return, because there's each of them had a 60 yard return and each of them looked a little gassed.
All right. No, I thought it was two games in a row, but maybe it was the same game.
No. It is two games in a row. It was in 2000 in the Tampa Bay game in 2000. Sorry, in 2006, the Tampa Bay game was the opener.
So 2006 is the Haloti Ngata where like he's gassed and runs out of bounds, and then the following game. Somebody else gets a strip sack coming off the edge on the quarterback, and it's like right there at Kelly's feet. He just picks it up and runs it down the sideline. And I think after Ngata failed to score, Ray Lewis decided to take matters into his own hands and runs right alongside him and basically strips the ball from Kelly and takes it the rest of the way, leaving Kelly just sprawled out on the field. Just absolutely dead. And again, I think that's also where the short legs comes to mind. It's just that image of him like running down the sideline, just the legs churning so quickly, trying to get down that sideline, but not going all that fast.
Okay. I got to go to that play now and remember the Ray Lewis part. I remember Ray Lewis stripping the ball. I didn't remember him going the rest of the way.
He may not have made it all the way. But it was funny, like they, and the announcers were calling it at the time that they, that he's actually close, is running between Kelly and the sideline, Ray Lewis comes up and mm-hmm. is trying to pitch me the ball or hand me the ball, pitch me the ball. And Kelly is just trying as hard as he can to like get down the sideline. And I think finally just Lewis reaches over and just grabs it and takes it and keeps going. So.
I'm trying to find this play and I can't do it here. That might be it. Yeah, here it is. Kelly Gregg, 59 yards to the Oakland 15. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, it obviously didn't score again. Left the Ravens obviously in a position where they needed to try and move the ball. And they turned into a field goal, just like the Nada situation, it looks like. So one of those plays. Anyway,
yep.
I'll leave the other one from 2006 for you because I know that was a big yep. highlight. The 2006 postseason, maybe you got this, maybe you don't, but it was an awful day for the Ravens, but mm-hmm. it was one of Kelly Gregg's best career games. He had 9 tackles, half a sack, and that awful loss to Manning and the Colts. And it really was one of his best games. If you looked at him, he's a very consistent tackler. He usually got 4 to 5 to 6 tackles per game. But this one, he really stood out and had 9. And there were a few games like that in his career. But to also get half a sack, he piled up something like 19 career sacks. That's not nothing for a nose tackle. It's actually not bad. But didn't get too many sacks in his career.
No, but in that game, it wasn't the defense that was the problem that game,
right?
That playoff game. You know, if you hold Manning to, was it 5 field goals? You've done your job. It doesn't surprise me that like he had a good game. Another one where a highlight I was just watching was he had a big first and goal stop of Eddie George in the 03 playoff game. And again, don't remember that because that was, bad game overall. So, just sort of block that out of the memory.
Okay. You want to go with the other 2006 highlights so we keep them all in
the
stick order?
Yep. Yeah, the other 06. I think a lot of people remember this one is getting a sack on Michael Vick. And I'm really surprised I can't find the video of it out there. I thought that would be one of his top plays of his career. So I recall it wasn't just a like break through the line and hit him. Like, I mean, Vick was scrambling and I thought Kelly was able to like chase him down from behind and get him.
Here's how I remember the play. And admittedly, I did not look at it again for this thing, but there's several things I remember. First of all, Gregg did penetrate into the backfield fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. Vick retreated, turned mm-hmm. one way, turned back, and then got tackled right there. And it was a big loss on the play. I want to say it was minus 9, minus 11, something like that. It wasn't, a typical kind of a 4-yard or 5-yard sack. And the other thing I remember more than anything about the play is Tony Siragusa was doing the game as the sideline reporter. Now, most sideline reporters of either gender do not cut into the broadcast. But Tony's deal with Fox was he cuts in whenever the hell he wants. And immediately, he's screaming at the play over the announcer, frankly, in terms of saying, oh, yeah, there's a big guy making a play, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just one of those very funny moments. But I've got to go back now and look at that again. I am surprised that's not out on YouTube too. Somebody usually posts something like that. It's at least a while before it gets taken down.
Right.
There's a treasure trove of old video, by the way, that's out there right now. Somebody named Dave Volsky has redone a bunch of early 70s games. So some of the oldest video that's still out there. And he goes in there, he changes gamma and other things to make the video look better. Then somehow, and I don't know how it works, but anyway. It's very good. One of the games I watched, the 1971, the Super Bowl 5 is out there.
I watched that too recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great to see that. And just as complete as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. They do not have the whole game, unfortunately, but they've got that. So beginning with Super Bowl 6, I think they've got the whole game. 4, they've got in black and white. And 3, they've got the whole game. Damn it. It's like, I need to see that
right.
And then 1 in one and two, I don't believe they have either of those still left. There's supposed to be one guy who recorded it in Pennsylvania, recorded it personally, and he's demanding $1 million. He lives in Pennsylvania. He's demanded $1 million from the NFL, and the NFL is threatening to sue him. They'll say, we'll have it on air. We'd love to put it on NFL Network, but we're not, you know, if you ever try and show this publicly, we're going to sue the hell out of you kind of thing.
Wow.
And so they're at some sort of standoff. But my guess is at some point in the future, that'll be in other people's hands and made more available. They also know, since there's only one copy, if copies start showing up all over the place, which this guy wants to sell it.
Yeah.
And private collectors had their hand on the Super Bowl V video for a long time. As someone who collects, you know, old videos, it was a long time before that finally emerged. So there's still some stuff out there. If you have old cults tapes, VHS or beta, that are in the attic from your, you know, cleaning out your dad's house or whatever, you find them, you don't know what you have. Don't throw those things away. You don't know what they might have in terms of history right on those tapes. And some of them will have, you know, stupid old movies and things like that, but other things will have, you know, sports, which is just, you can't find this stuff anymore. It's not available. And people can have some pure gold in their attic still.
Yeah, that's I wish we had some of that, because yeah, I know how to get it transferred and digitized and all that, but we don't have it, and I'm too young to really remember the Colts, so I would love to go back and watch the old guys, you know. It's
You can still see Game of the Week stuff, and it's well done by NFL Films. That's out there, and you can still see some highlight films for the season. A number of them are out there for the Colts of the 60s. Mm-hmm. The 65 one in particular is really outstanding, because that's the one where Tom Matte has to play quarterback for a series of games. Okay. That's a great one to watch if you see it. But it's would be really nice if there were some video surviving from that era, but it just it really doesn't. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I want to save the what I think is the biggest one for last. But to me, I want to go back to that 2001 play-in game for Kelly Gregg, essentially, when he's against Duane, Missouri. And he had three tackles in that game, which doesn't seem like much, but it's a preseason game, so you don't pile up tons of tackles like you would if you're starting an NFL game. Mm-hmm. He also dropped a cover on one play. And I always mock that a little bit, but when Kelly Gregg dropped a cover, it's one of the only times he did as a Raven, and it would have been probably 100 times or less he did it in his entire career. He got an interception.
Yeah.
And he also had a sack in the game. And on Duane, Missouri's second sack and second forced fumble of the game. So this is his major opponent. Greg scooped it and scored on a 19-yard TD. So nice. Just an unbelievable day of football for those two. And to me, I heard people watching this Ravens Commanders preseason game this last year and seeing the end of the 24-25 game winning streak, whatever it was, and thinking, this is the most exciting preseason game I've ever seen. Not for me. For me, that 2001 game, lousy game, played in the day, 38-9, completely one-sided in terms of that. That wasn't what was important. The competition between these two guys was just one of the greatest things you'll ever see.
Nice. Yeah.
And then if I go to the exact opposite end of his career, I have my other selection for a great play. And that came in his next to last game as a Raven. The Chiefs and Ravens were locked in a very tight struggle, with the Ravens leading 10-7 early in the third quarter at Kansas City in that 2010 playoff game. It's actually early 2011, of course.
Yeah.
But the 2010 season. So anyway, they were up by 3 points, and that drive, by the way, started Haruki Nakamura was known for not having a lot of interceptions at the Ravens, but he had an interception that he dropped in the 2008 playoff game that would have secured it, and they secured it anyway like two plays later. But the other one, he intercepted a ball against Matt Cassel of the Chiefs that would have set the Ravens up with a great opportunity, and then after he did it, he fumbled the football back to the Chiefs on the play.
Okay. Yeah, I think I remember that one. Yep.
And so that started this drive. Mm-hmm. And now they'd gotten several consecutive first downs. They got down to the 33-yard line. They had fourth and one. with Q3 945, if you've got the video, or you can find it out there online, and I think you probably can't find the video on YouTube. Look at what Kelly Gregg does on this play. The Chiefs had Jamal Charles, and they had Matt Cassel at quarterback, so they would try and often get first downs on the ground, much more reliant on the running game at the time. But they ran an interesting play that I think was just a truly terrible decision in terms of what it was, because of who the Ravens are as sniffers. They faked left with a pull from the right guard. So the right guard is pulling from right to left. He vacated an area basically where Kelly Gregg was stationed. Kelly Gregg, the center was left with a cutoff block there. And I would normally call this a reach block, but it's reaching back to the backside is cutoff. So a block that was severely disadvantaged had to be made at a low angle, and Kelly Gregg was having none of it. The center, Weigman, who tried to block him, ends up on the ground. Kelly Gregg ends up not only bubbling Charles, but bubbling about 4 yards into the backfield. He actually missed the tackle himself, but there are like six Ravens over Charles at that point, rallying to the football. The ball got knocked out right on the sidelines. Kelly Gregg's picked it up and starts running with it. And there's this crazy leg style that I can still remember to him as far as doing that. But that was a huge play in that season. And the Ravens went on to the most incredible series of defensive plays they probably ever put together, that lasted about 15 plays, where it was just fumbles and interceptions and sacks and almost no positive yards for the Chiefs. And they took that 10-7 game to be 30-7 with four additional scores. So that Kelly Gregg moment is the other one that I really remember from his career.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great moment and a great game. And was it after that one that Ed Reed sort of wanted to take the offense to task a little bit? I remember one of those early Flacco years where they get into the playoffs and the offense doesn't do much, but the defense just creates all the turnovers and point production. And I know at one point Ed Reed kind of sounded off about hey, we're gonna need something from you guys at some point. So
that's fair. And given all Ed Reed did in the playoffs, it could have been just about any of those years. They lost in 2009, 20-3 at Indianapolis. They lost in 2008 in the AFC Championship game, where the offense did nothing. I mean, nothing at all. And eventually Polamalu's interception sealed the deal. And then they lost in 2010, the very next week, to the Steelers in a game they led 21-7.
So yeah, that was another one that hurt.
That hurt like hell.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, always a pleasure to talk football with you, even if it's for just a little bit of while. And I talk like this. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Sure. I don't do much talking on online, but what I do is on Twitter, at Minikowski, MINAKOWSKI. And that's me.
Right. And like a lot of other people, really appreciate you participating in this. Every time I have a new series of this type, you're one of the first people who always raises his hand and says, hey, I'd like to go on and talk about such and such. And really appreciate that. And other folks out there, if you want to do this, don't be shy. Be a person who wants to talk about this. I want to talk to new people about football, and this is a great choice. One of my favorite players, obviously, if you couldn't tell from this episode. So really happy to see Adam pick a player like that. But any player is cool. Any player has some good memories associated with them. And this has been a fun series to record, and I hope other people will get involved. DM me. They're always open. I'll get right back to you, and we'll set up a time to record. Adam, thanks again for coming on.
Hey, thank you, Ken. Great to be here.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.